How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Thing getting you?
No. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.
Hey everybody, Carl Stern here for When It Was Cool Dark, or Dragon King Dark, depending on where you're hearing this show. I am excited tonight to introduce a special episode. This will conclude our October month-long celebration of Halloween. Next week, we will get back to our continuing series. We're over three-fourths of the way finished with 100 of the darkest moments in pop culture history. We'll pick that series back up next week. But this week, I'm very pleased to turn the reins of the show over to one of our fellow podcasters on the When It Was Cool podcasting network, Eric Darcy, who does the Wrestling with the Dog podcast. He also has as his special guest some other members that are on our podcasting network, plus some great Halloween clips from other places. Hey, it's a celebration of Halloween, and I really appreciate Eric letting me use this for Dragon King Dark episode number 341. And we have had so much fun this month over at whenitwascool.com. In case you haven't checked us out, I hope you will. Halloween is at the time the show drops, tomorrow night. We have dropped for our Patreons the entire audiobook for Dracula. Yes, the entire audiobook for the legendary novel Dracula. The majority of our shows have been themed around Halloween or monsters or vampires or Frankenstein, all the great stuff you know and love about Halloween. It's been a real celebration this month, and I've had a lot of fun doing it. So I'm now going to turn it over to Eric and his gang, and I hope you will hear them, and that will make you curious to check out their individual shows. Everybody that appears on this podcast, hope you will check out their shows. Many of them are on the When It Was Cool podcast network, and I hope you'll check us out. Go to whenitwascool.com. We have many, many free shows dealing with retro pop culture, pro wrestling history, TV, movies, music, much, much more fun stuff back in the day, retro pop culture. So check that out, bookmark us, and hopefully the ultimate goal is that you will become a Patreon supporter, where we have a catalog now that has finally passed over 2,000 shows. Yes, you will have plenty of stuff to dive into and listen to right out of the gate. So check us out over at whenitwascool.com. Thank you, Eric. And now let's get into the celebration for Halloween 2022 from whenitwascool.com. This podcast is part of whenitwascool.com. Support this show and get premium podcasts, newsletters, and more by clicking any Patreon link at whenitwascool.com.
I mean, Jesse was kind of a free spirit, you know. I remember one time we were driving back from Albany, Georgia. We had done a TV taping in Albany. And I was driving Jesse, and there was a light in the sky. And it filled up. It was nighttime, but this light, it wasn't a bolt of lightning, but it filled up the entire sky. And the entire sky got bright blue and then went away. And Jesse said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Yeah, hell yeah, I saw it." So he called his wife, Terry, and Terry says, "Put Tony on the phone." And I got on the phone. Terry says, "Have you guys been smoking anything?" And that's what I remember. And Jesse still remembers that story. He met my son, Matt, at Fox News, where Matt works, and said, "Ask your dad about the time the sky lit up bright blue in the middle of the night in Georgia." So we still don't know where that's from or what happened, but we both saw it. We'll be right back.
You guys have tuned in for the 2022 Halloween special. I am the Dirty Dog, Darcy. Thank you for tuning in for another year, another fun horror podcast, another spooky spectacular podcast, into the third special that I've done, talking all things Halloween, all things horror, all things dark matters. I am very, very interested in all things paranormal. I got into listening to spooky things in the audio imaginarium through a friend, Mr. Beverly Hills, who I have podcasted with over at Many Event Status Radio at manyeventstatus.com. When him and I lived together for a semester in college, he subscribed to Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer's f4wonline.com/wrestlingobserver.com. And Brian Alvarez, a wrestling journalist, had some time on his hands on a Friday night, and he got into wrestling newsletters, wrestling journalism, wrestling podcasts because of the late, great Art Bell in Coast to Coast AM. And Brian Alvarez wanted to tip his hat to Art Bell and his legacy and get him into pursuing what he's interested in newsletters and podcasting. So Brian Alvarez did a weekly paranormal podcast called After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez that's turned into Dragon King Dark / When It Was Cool Dark with Carl Stern over at whenitwascool.com. But Brian Alvarez started to do some weekly specials on Bigfoot, on ghost stories, on anything and everything paranormal in retrospect, in respect, in honor of Art Bell. And because of that, I got into enjoying paranormal podcasting, paranormal radio, and that got me into just loving anything and everything that is spooky this time of year in October leading up to Halloween. And as I mentioned, this is the third annual Halloween Spectacular Ramblings with the Dog. And this year I have clips of Art Bell's past Ghost to Ghost AM shows. For this year, 2022, I have clips from the 2001 Halloween special that Art Bell did. 2001 Ghost to Ghost AM. I also have friends from whenitwascool.com stopping in, bopping in, and giving me some horror themes, some Halloween discussions, which I'm very, very, very excited to get into, to play for you this year, and to discuss with you guys. But again, before I get my friends on into this year's special, at the top of the show, you guys heard the legendary wrestling play-by-play man, Tony Schiavone, talk about an experience he had with former governor of Minnesota, Jesse the Body Ventura, and their UFO experience. I got that clip from when Tony Schiavone called me back in 2018 because I bought a few shirts off of LewisRules.com. Obviously, Lewis being his wonderful wife of many, many years, tied in with his podcast with Conrad Thompson. Tony Schiavone called, and I chatted with him for a few minutes, asked him a few questions, and I got on the topic of asking him about Jesse Ventura and their time working together in WCW, and if he had any fun road stories riding up and down the highways and byways with Jesse Ventura. And Tony Schiavone shared that UFO experience, which I think is awesome that Tony Schiavone went on the record to discuss that, which is why I wanted to play that for you guys for this year's introduction to the 2022 Halloween Spectacular Ramblings with the Dog podcast. So thank you, Tony Schiavone, for your scary experience. And talk about scary experiences, which leads us to the first clip for this year's Halloween special, again, from the year 2001. Here is a caller calling in to talk to Art Bell on the 2001 Ghost to Ghost AM.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. How are you this evening?
Okay.
All right. Well, this was about the middle of last July.
Where are you, sir?
This is Dave and Christopher.
Dave?
Yes.
Okay, Dave.
All right. And we were up camping in White Pines up at the northern end of Illinois.
Right.
And we had just finished a late dinner, and we were sitting around a roaring campfire, starting to get cool out. And we decided to do what most people do around a campfire, see if we could drum up a few ghost stories. Okay. So we're sitting around, and everybody's trying to think, and all of a sudden there's a rustling behind us in the dark,
yeah.
You know, in the trees and such. And we look over, and out comes this little black cat.
Yes.
And you know how some cats are very socialized. They come by and they rub up against you. Okay, well, this little thing came and got up in between the people and the fire and started, as she walked by, she'd give you the little tail hug, like, you
right.
know?
Oh, and, yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, so she's walking around, and people are just watching her walk and touch and walk and hug. And she gets around to these two girls that are just about the other side of the fire from me. And as she does, she stops for a moment, and the girl, who absolutely loves cats, reaches over and starts to give her a scritch on the back.
Right.
And the tail goes up, and all of a sudden the girl darts back screaming, turned completely white, and the girlfriend next to her does the same thing. As it turned out, when she had reached over to scritch the cat, she had actually gone through the cat.
Her hand went through the cat. Through the cat.
After this cat had walked around half the people at the campfire, touching and hugging as she walked by, rubbing their leg, and everybody swears up and down they felt the cat.
Yes.
Felt the fur.
Yes.
And everybody starts looking around for the cat, and the cat's gone. All right? And there's nothing but, like, a wall of thicket and leaves back where the cat must have gone. Somebody picks up one of these Q-beams, goes back in the direction of where we thought the cat had gone, and there's nothing there.
Uh-huh. That's fascinating.
So
puts her hand right through the cat, huh?
Puts her hand almost right through the cat. As she starts to scratch it, it's like it's started to...
No, I understand.
Turn to gas,
that would
you know?
Produce, it would produce a scream, all right. Yes, very, very interesting. Thank you. Now, of course, that suggests that we ponder the possibility of animals... also being ghosts, the spirit of animals surviving physical death and appearing to us? Or does it suggest the possibility of something that transforms itself into another state? I don't know. You decide.
I highly enjoyed that call from the 2001 Ghost to Ghost AM with the legendary Art Bell, because I am a huge cat person. My family and I have had many a cats over the years as a family pet, and also you get accustomed, you grow with a connection with your loved one, your furry friend, your furry family member. And I thought it was an interesting call, an interesting experience, because I would be totally spooked if something like that happened to me and my friends or family sitting around a campfire talking ghost stories. And we had a ghostly encounter with a friendly ghost cat. And yeah, I just thought it was unique, a fun way to kick off this year's Ramblings with the Dog Halloween Spooktacular. But definitely a fun listen, a spooky listen, a spooky encounter, feeling the fur of a cat that just wasn't real. Very spooky indeed. And I mentioned that I'd be having friends from WhenItWasCool.com and friends from the When It Was Cool podcast network calling in and chatting. And I have friend Ken Zombie, host of Life and Times with KZ and Gina at WhenItWasCool.com, and he is here with a Halloween story that he wants to share with all of us for this year's Halloween special. So let's get to that call.
We're going to get a little pro wrestling into this one. On October 31st, 1997, in Hayward, California here. If you remember Beyond the Mat, the beginning, where Barry Blaustein goes to Hayward, California, in that little garage. Yes, that garage, APW. There was a hardcore wrestler back in the day, Vicious Vic Grimes, who would do violent stuff, and he was hardcore. And he feuded with a local manager called J.R. Benson, this skinny little meth head guy. And earlier in the year, he tried to kill him by diving off the top of a garage through a table, tried to kill J.R. But J.R. came back to get his revenge on this day. J.R. managed the Westside Players of Shooter Tony Jones of Beyond the Mat fame. And his partner was Jay Smooth. They were taking on Vicious Vic Grimes and the debuting Little Dick Grimes in a tag team match. So they had their match. It was wild. And the Players got sent to the back. So then Vic Grimes' entrance song, Breathe by Prodigy, also used by Al Snow and ECW, was pumping in through the sound system. And these two, Vic and Dick, they went about trying to kill this JR guy. They were hitting him with a toolbox. They threw him into a wooden shelf type thing and all kinds of stuff. I mean, they were just trying to kill him. Then they pulled out a table. They put J.R. Benson on the table, wrapped it with barbed wire, and this was on the floor. And Vic got back into the ring, did a running liger flip over the rope through the table, killing J.R. Benson. This is the craziest thing I have ever seen. I don't know if you could see me in the video, but I'm there marking out. I won the costume contest earlier as Spike Dudley, who happened to train at APW. And it was just insanity. I do have on YouTube a little clip, about a 5-minute clip of how the Grimes brothers tried to kill J.R. Benson. That'll be tinyurl.com/APWHH97. I'll send you that tiny URL link, dog. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen at a pro wrestling show. And it happened to have been on Halloween. And you guys need to go out of your way to watch the original Halloween. Turn the lights out and watch that movie. Still scares me to this day, and I'm 49 years old.
Thank you, KZ, for coming on to this year's 2022 Halloween Spooktacular. But stories like that make me appreciate what professional wrestlers do week in, week out, night in and night out for our entertainment. Even though I didn't want this to turn into a wrestling show because I do a weekly wrestling podcast at flareflop.com, but I greatly appreciate the storyteller that KZ is, and I greatly appreciate, again, wrestlers, performers, doing what they do every single time they stepped into a wrestling ring for our entertainment. And hearing stories like what KZ did makes me appreciate again what they do, because they do put their life on the line, even if they are trying to incapacitate another performer on a table, on concrete. It's just a little bit scary, which is what I like. Talk about things that are scary. I have another Ghost to Ghost AM clip from the year 2001 with the legendary Art Bell.
First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Jack, and I'm calling from Fairborn, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
And I have a story that dates back to right around 1970 when my family and I were living in a town called Edison, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
We had been living in an old farmhouse sitting on 12 acres of land. And I was 9 or 10 at the time, and my brother was 4 or 5, and we shared an upstairs bedroom. This had to be 3, 4 in the morning. I felt like I needed to use the bathroom. So I get up, put my little feet on the floor, and I start walking out to the hallway. Something didn't feel quite right. You know, I have that sinking feeling that something is just wrong.
Sure.
I go to the bathroom, finish up, come out, walk back in the hallway, and this black presence, Art. I mean, it was so black, it stood out against the dark of night in the hallway.
As a form?
As a form. It was just an oval shape, indistinct, but dark.
Not good.
Cold.
Not good.
It slammed into me and said, "Don't go in." I heard this in my head.
Don't go in.
Don't go in. I was trying to go back into my room, and there's my brother laying there in the bed, being enveloped by this thing.
Holy moly.
Anyway.
And so what did you do?
All the cats in the house started yowling, and we must have had 6, 7 cats.
Yeah, cats know about these things.
And 3 come from upstairs, and 4 come out of my parents' bedroom.
They had a lot of cats.
And they're screaming, yelling, the fur is flying, and they're in the room. They're with my brother on the bed, and they're beating the hell out of whatever this thing was on them.
Yep, there you are.
After it was over, he says, "Jack, what was that? What was it?" He had ice crystals in his hair.
Holy smokes.
So he said, "I was trying to scream. I was trying to scream. And nothing would come out. Not a thing."
Did you, after this being had stopped you and you saw it at work on your brother with the cats around, could you have gone forward at that point?
No, I was frozen.
Frozen, yeah. Oh, I understand that, too.
I was there, stuck to the spot.
Yep. And so you went to your parents?
I run to my parents' room. There's something wrong with Dennis. There's something wrong with Dennis. Something's in there with him.
Right.
Immediately, my father wakes up, and he's a police officer in the town. He grabs his gun, and he runs into the room. And this thing is on the wall. And it slides through the window, not out the window.
Hmm.
Through the window. My dad grabs my brother and he says to my mom, "He's ice cold. He's ice cold and I don't feel anything." Takes him to the hospital. The next morning he gets back and he tells me that your brother was treated for hypothermia. They're going to keep him overnight.
Holy smokes.
So I am never without cats. My brother's never without cats. I swear by him. I mean, and I don't know what was shadow people or whatever it was, but that lingers in my mind, Art.
I'll bet that'll be there forever imprinted on your brain.
Well, I'll tell you that.
I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Art.
Yikes. Icicles in his hair, treated for hypothermia. I don't know. What do you think happened to him? What do you think that was? What do you think could cause those kinds of physical manifestations? Probably nothing good.
Nothing but pure evil, in my opinion, does things like that. Attacks people while they're asleep in their most vulnerable of states. Stories like that always scare the turds out of me because of things that in this story our cats can pick up on that we don't always notice, we don't always see, that we are frozen in fear because we just don't know what we're experiencing. We don't know what's happening in front of our own two eyes. And we just don't know how to act and react. Stories like that make me appreciate our animals and doing what they do to protect us, doing what they do to love on us. Again, stories like that always scare the living turds out of me, because you just never know what's out there in the middle of the night. I've mentioned before on a lot of my wrestling podcast, Wrestling with the Dog at flareflop.com, that I work in a warehouse for the longest of times, for over a decade, second shift. Now, I'm doing a 4 a.m. shift. I'm always awake at the 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning hour. And stories like that we just heard with Art Bell from the 2001 Ghost to Ghost AM always scares me, because it always seems like things happen in the middle of the night. Things happen in the darkness. And I always, always hate looking out my window at night when the sun ain't up, because it's so hard to see what's out there. When everything's all dark, you just can't determine what's looking back inside or looking at you. So stories like that always scares me. And I'm interested in your guys' thoughts too. What happened with that caller's brother, Dennis, I believe his name was. What is your guys' thoughts on what attacked Dennis, that caller's brother? Because that's why I appreciate all the cats out there in the past, in the present, all the way into the future, because cats are a wonderful thing. And something else that is a wonderful thing is all the different third-party providers over at whenitwascool.com and When It Was Cool Podcast Network, because my wrestling podcast is one of the third-party providers, third-party podcast for Miss Tanya and the Dragon King webmaster, Carl Stern. And how I had KZ, the host of Life and Times with KZ and Gina from whenitwascool.com on like about 10 minutes or so ago. I have another voice, another tag team partner on the podcast network, about to call in the host of Stuck in the Desert podcast. My friend, my close personal friend, the Desert Rat. And the Desert Rat has a little story from life, from a situation in his neck of the woods. Or should I say, his neck of the desert.
For ages now, people have been reporting seeing vessels they could not easily identify, strange orbs, triangles, and cigar-shaped craft that exhibited extraordinary flight capabilities that seemed to defy the laws of physics. But what if it goes beyond lights in the sky, and suddenly you're face-to-face with an otherworldly creature whose motives you cannot determine? Something like that happened to Travis Walton years back in the woods not so very far from where I am right now. Still unexplained, but nonetheless genuine in my opinion. If you've been hanging around the UFO cult long enough to get a cup of coffee, you've heard Travis's story. But there's another story from just across the New Mexico border in Socorro that gets way less play, but it's equally likely to be genuine, the Lonnie Zamora incident. The Lonnie Zamora incident was an alleged UFO sighting that occurred on April 24, 1964, near Socorro, New Mexico, when Socorro police officer Lonnie Zamora claimed he saw two people beside a shiny object that later rose into the air accompanied by roaring flame. Zamora's claims were subject to the attention from news media UFO investigators and UFO organizations, and the U.S. Air Force's Project Blue Book listed the case as unknown. Conventional explanations of Zamora's claims include a lunar lander test by White Sands Missile Range and a hoax by New Mexico Tech students. On April 24, 1964, at approximately 5:45 p.m., Socorro Police Radio dispatcher Neb Lopez received a radio call from Sergeant Lonnie Zamora reporting a possible motor vehicle accident. Zamora advised Lopez that he would be checking the car down in the arroyo. Shortly after, Lopez received another radio call from Zamora asking Lopez to look out of the window and see if he could see an object. When Lopez asked Zamora to describe it, Zamora said it looks like a balloon and requested New Mexico State Police Sergeant Chavez meet him at his location. When Chavez arrived, he asked Zamora what the trouble was. Zamora led him to examine some burning brush. While other police officers arrived, they noticed patches of smoldering grass and dry brush. Zamora told authorities that he was pursuing a speeding car south of Socorro, New Mexico, when he heard a roar and saw flame in the sky to the southwest some distance away, possibly a half a mile or a mile. Believing the local dynamite shack might have exploded, Zamora said he discontinued the pursuit and investigated the potential explosion. Zamora claimed to have observed a shiny object to the south about 150 to 200 yards that he initially believed to be an overturned white car up on radiator or on trunk. The object was like aluminum. It was a whitish against the mesa background, but not chrome, and shaped like the letter O. Zamora claimed to have briefly observed two people in white coveralls beside the object, who he later described as normal in shape, but possibly they were small adults or large kids. Zamora claimed to hear a roar and see a blue and orange flame under the object, which then rose and quickly moved away. Zamora's claims were investigated by governmental projects, e.g. the U.S. Air Force Project Blue Book, and civilian ufologists, and have been reported in the popular press and media. Although ufology groups consider the Zamora incident one of the most credible extraterrestrial encounters on record, several alternative explanations have been presented. These include the testing of a new lunar landing device by personnel from White Sands Missile Range, a prank gift or prank perpetrated by students from nearby New Mexico Tech. Regarding the latter explanation, the then president of New Mexico Tech, Sterling Colgate, supported the idea that students from the school were responsible for the hoax and additionally wrote that the object observed by Zamora was a candle in a balloon, not sophisticated. UFO skeptic Stuart Campbell has suggested that what Zamora observed was almost certainly a mirage of the star Canopus. In 1966, the president of the Socorro County's Chamber of Commerce, Paul Ridings, proposed developing the site of Zamora's claimed UFO encounter to make it more accessible to tourists. Consequently, stone walkways and steps were built into the arroyo from the mesa top, with a rock walkway circling the supposed landing site that included some wooden benches. However, these were built approximately a quarter of a mile from the actual site of Zamora's alleged sighting, due to local rumors that the original site was contaminated by radioactivity. In 2012, Socorro City officials Robbie Bosker and Pat Salome commissioned local artist Erica Burley to paint a mural on a spillway facing Park Street to commemorate Zamora's alleged UFO sighting. Zamora became so tired of the subject that he eventually avoided both ufologists and the Air Force, taking a job managing a gasoline station. He died on November 2, 2009 in Socorro from a heart attack. He was 76 years old. And it's the last part that makes this story so convincing to me. To have one's life permanently altered and then get so fatigued answering about something you cannot explain and never asked for to happen just makes you distance yourself from the occurrence. Both Travis and Lonnie exhibited these symptoms. I'm including a clip of the Lonnie being interviewed shortly after the event for your consideration. Feel free to come to your own conclusions about the matter. Additional sources can be found on Lonnie Zamora UFO incident page on Wikipedia if you're so inclined. But when you go out trick-or-treating this year, don't forget to take your tinfoil umbrella. That way you won't get sucked up by pods. Until next time, stop killing each other.
This is Walter Schrode, your roving reporter at KSRT Radio in Socorro, New Mexico. We have with us this afternoon Mr. Lonnie Zamora, the Socorro patrolman that, while chasing a car, found himself in an area about 2 miles west of Socorro and 1 mile east of KSRC radio station, at which time he reports he came upon an unidentified object resting on four legs. That as he drew closer, the object took off with a loud roar, spouting blue-red flame, and disappeared in the sky. A great number of cars and Socorro people have gathered here in front of the studios of KSRC to catch a glimpse of Mr. Zamora as he arrived and welcome him with their car horn. Mr. Zamora, after coming upon this object, just what did happen?
I went up that little road for about half a mile, I guess. Came up to this little parking deal there on the side of the road, and I sort of glanced out the window, looked to my left, and seen this white object on the ground. So I thought it might be a car that had turned over. So I also read the real big Harry going out there to investigate, thought maybe somebody would be hurt. That time I saw this white egg-shaped looking object.
Is it something like an egg, you mean?
Yeah, from the distance I was, it looked like an egg to me.
About the size of a car, I think, someone said.
Yes, sir, it looked like the car had turned over. That's why I say the size of a car.
And did it have any kind of markings on it of any kind that you noticed?
Yes, it did. Not from that far, I didn't see the markings. When I went up closer to it, I did see the markings.
And someone said that the markings that you saw was an upside down B with three lines running through it.
No, sir, I couldn't tell you that because they still don't want you to say nothing about markings.
No, they don't want you to say anything about the markings. All right, we won't question you on that. If we run into an area that they don't want you to talk about, we can just say so. And this happened about 5:30 Friday afternoon.
It happened about 5:50, about 10 minutes to 6.
About 10 minutes to 6. And you did place a call in to Sergeant Travis of the State Police to come on out and help you with the investigation.
As soon as I saw this object, I didn't know what it was. I placed a call to Sergeant Travis of the State Police. Told him he could come out there and help me on this. He said, yes, I'll be right there in about a few minutes.
And he arrived just about 2 or 3 minutes after the object had taken off and left.
Well, the object was still about a couple of months up there whenever he arrived.
Right. Still in that direction it went. It went up over the top of the mountain. And we heard several reports that it flew low, like it was dragging something. And we've heard some...
It was very low to the ground. At the time I was seeing it, it was very low to the ground. Up to the burlite meal there, and then it started gaining altitude.
Now, also, it was reported to me that when you first drove up into this area and decided to to these people dressed in white uniforms with, did they have helmets on like spacemen or anything?
No, sir, I wouldn't say that there are people. I saw something white coverall, that's all I could say.
It looked like there was something in white coverall.
Right.
But you couldn't identify them as actually being a human being.
No,
and you and I are.
No, sir.
But you didn't know where they turned and saw you or what then?
Well, I would say that this white object turned and saw me.
Yeah.
Were they two of them? I would say it were two, because one was in front and the other object was in back.
Did you have a chance?
Yep. Thanks to the dog for asking me to submit my story. Happy Halloween, folks.
Thank you, Desert Rat, for your clip and for your story this year. I greatly appreciate your research and your time. If you enjoyed hearing the Desert Rat's piece and opinion, please go to winniewascool.com and check out Stuck in the Desert podcast with the Desert Rat, Stuck in the Desert Southwest here in the States. And stories like what the Desert Rat brought to us for this year's Halloween special 2022, Ramblings with the Dog. I just find it to be interesting because, well, one, Lonnie was a police officer, a cop, a trained eyewitness to whatever he sees, he encounters. So whenever I hear or read or whatnot, any eyewitness testimony from a police officer or a first responder, I usually believe more times than not than what they seen, what they witnessed, what they encountered, because why would they lie? Why would they make up a story just to hear, get an ear to whatever they said, whatever they're making up? To me, it just doesn't make any sense. UFOs always intrigue me because the idea, the possibility that there is something else out there. There are other life forms out there. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, and further is so much space. There's a lot that we as humans, human beings, just don't know about. Especially here on Earth. Here under the water in our oceans, in our lakes, our rivers, in our forest, in our deserts. Even elsewhere in our, you know, in the Milky Way galaxy, is Pluto a planet? I just don't know. Things like that always intrigue me because space is so much. We just don't know. We just can't put a label on what is out there. How much space actually takes up. What is outside of our galaxy? What is on the other side of the moon? What is on the other side of the sun? Always intrigues me because just based off of our advancements in technology, our advancements in knowledge, it's hard to believe that there isn't something else out there, that we are alone here on Earth, in our galaxy. It's just hard to believe. Even though I doubt we will ever, ever find answers to questions like that in our lifetime or possibly ever. Just stories like what the Desert Rat brought to us. I always find it interesting because we just don't know. Are Bigfoot real? Are UFOs real? Are dogmen real? Well, I'm real, but that's a different story. I'm a different kind of dogman, baby. But stories like that, again, just intrigue me. And talk about other stories, I have another clip from the 2001 Ghost to Ghost AM with the legendary Art Bell. and monkeys that produce this year's Ramblings with the Dog, this year's Halloween Spooktacular. Hey guys, play that clip.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art. Happy Halloween.
And same to you, sir.
This is Paul, let's say, from Central Illinois.
Okay.
I'm a sheriff's deputy. And
oh, you are?
Yes. Until a few weeks ago, I worked the midnight shift.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I bought our first house last August. It's a nice, like a 70-year-old house, still in good shape and things like that. Well, one night, about September 8th or so,
mm-hmm.
I come home from work, and now my wife, she's a paramedic. She works 24-hour shifts, and on that night she was working, so there shouldn't have been anybody home.
That would be back in what we call September 8th, back in the normal times.
Huh? Yes.
The last of the normal times.
Right, that's what makes it easy to remember.
Sure.
But my wife, she was working that night, so her car was gone. There shouldn't have been anybody home. I came home for a dinner break about 3 o'clock in the morning or so, and I walked in the door, came in the house through the kitchen. As I come in the kitchen, I see the silhouette of a person standing there by the kitchen sink. And remembering I was on duty, of course, the first thing I did, seeing a strange person in my house, was to draw my pistol and point it at this person and tell them to show me their hands.
I'm sure.
Well, there was a little bit of light coming in through the window from a street light, and this person kind of slowly turned her head and looked at me, and I see it's this little old lady.
Huh.
And there was a, you know, you kind of get that strange feeling, and you start noticing that she was a little bit translucent.
Oh, really?
So I felt kind of silly pointing my pistol at her when I realized what it must be that was going on. So the first thing I could think of to say was, you know, what do you want? And
boy, that's pretty good. You know, a lot, some people in your position might have fired that gun. I mean, just out of absolute heart-stopping fright. They might have fired that gun.
It probably wouldn't have done a whole lot of good. I think she was already beyond the point that my pistol could have hurt her very much.
Good that you could realize that. Man.
Anyhow, she looked at me, and she just had this, if you can imagine, a little old lady who's kind of ornery and just knows that she's pulling the best trick in the world on somebody. She just had that kind of bemused old lady ornery look on her face. And so, like I said, I asked her, what do you want? And she just kind of grinned at me and then faded out and disappeared. And we haven't had any, I haven't seen her since then. I mean, she doesn't, you know, move things around in my house or anything. The only thing that ever happens that might be out of the ordinary is every once in a while, you know, if my wife and I are in the living room watching television or something, we have a dog. And there's been a few times that she goes in the kitchen because that's where her food dish is. And she's not the kind of dog that spooks easy. She loves people and, you know, nothing really scares her too much. But she'll be in the kitchen and we'll just hear her let out a little, yep, and then she'll just come running back in the living room and cower at our feet.
Sure.
And whenever she does that, I just imagine that kind of ornery look on that old lady's face and figure she's just playing tricks on my dog. And as long as that's all she does, I guess it doesn't really bother me a whole lot.
Well, I understand. Nevertheless, what do you think you saw?
Well, and I'm sure it was a ghost. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind about that. I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't asleep. I'd been at work, you know.
I've got you. All right. Thank you so much for the story. Take care. A deputy sheriff. And, of course, seeing is believing. Once you have seen, as that man saw, you will believe. You will never doubt again. You will always know that that there is something over on the other side. Whether that's to be your destination or not, you cannot know until your time has come. But there is certainly something there, something that can come through.
Stories like that, too, always make me wonder what is out there after our number has been called and our day has come to exit stage left and enter what is after this. And stories, yeah, just spook the living turds out of me because I wouldn't know either what to do if I walked out of my studio here and walked to my kitchen to grab another glazed donut or a bottle of water or even a Mountain Dew Halloween voodoo for Halloween. I wouldn't know what to do.
I wouldn't know what to do if he was the cranky grandma looking back at me. A apparition, a ghost. I just don't know what to do. I'm talking about ghost. I do want to thank the legendary Art Bell with all the different podcast radio shows that he's done for us over the years, from Coast to Coast AM to Dreamland to Dark Matter to Midnight in the Desert and all the different Halloween shows he's done. Thank you, Art Bell, for your legacy, your time, and your voice, because you have inspired many of us to pursue stories like that, podcasts like this, radio shows like his. I thank you, Sir Art, for that. And yeah, I just always find situations like that interesting, because you just never know what could be out there, because there are a lot of different religions out there saying, you know, their way is right, the other way is wrong. To get into heaven, you gotta believe this or that. You just never know until, well, you cross the other line. You see what is to be seen on the other side. So yeah, stuff like that, stories like this from Art Bell and that caller from Central Illinois always spooks me, which is fun. And talk about things that spook me, besides hearing tappings on my window at 2 in the morning, especially when I live on the third floor, are situations like what we're about to get into with a show called These Woods Are Haunted. Because anything that's haunted, spooky, out of this world, spooks me. Especially things that happen in the shadows, in town, in the metropolitans like New York City, Minneapolis, Chicago, Los Angeles, Tokyo, Japan, or elsewhere. What even spooks me the most is what happens in the woods.
Usually, I have no fear whatsoever of the outdoors. There is something in the swamp staring at me. It was extreme fear and doubt, and I'm in trouble.
David!
Get the car!
What's going on?
I gotta get out of there. My name is David T. Leidy. My wife and I really enjoy camping. Ever since we met, we had always gone camping. We decided we would check out the Outer Banks of North Carolina. We had never been there.
And we are back for another Halloween special. A very haunted special this year in the woods because, well, we'll get into it momentarily, but right now I'm joined by one of the voices of What a Maneuver and OnTheStick.com, a guy that's been joining me the last two Halloween specials the last 2 years, Joe Gerling. Welcome back to this very Haunted in the Woods edition of the Halloween special this year.
Well, thank you for having me. I was like coming on to talk about spooky stuff and, you know, that kind of thing, so I'm glad to be here.
As I was mumbling a little bit, welcoming you on, I sent a clip to both you and Eric about a show that I found with my mom watching on Sunday nights on the Travel Channel when I was still on second shift. And because my mom and I like to watch different spooky shows like These Woods Are Haunted or The Osbournes Want to Believe, when they had a show with Ozzy, Sharon, and Jack, watching different YouTube clips about different things, getting Ozzy's odd, goofy reactions and such. But these ones are hot to do. They show that I definitely dug. I feel like it's one of the better production aspects of the different shows, spooky shows that I've seen with my mom on the Travel Channel. And I wanted to send this clip to you guys just because, well, just to see if you guys ever heard of this show before. So, Joe, have you ever heard of These Woods Are Haunted before?
I had never heard of this show until you sent me this episode. This is an archive of an episode on YouTube. But I had never been aware of it previously, although it looks like I could watch it because apparently it's on Discovery Plus, as a lot of these kind of shows kind of are. So I could watch it, watch more of it. But looks like this show was on for three plus seasons. Well, they have weird divisions of like season 1.1, season 2.1, season 3.1. So I don't know what that actually means in practice.
Because I know for sure they had three seasons, and the clip I sent was normally the different shows I've seen usually had two different stories on, and did the show open like the opening video package, and usually did like a quick 30-second, 45-second brief package on what the two stories will get into, then get into the two different stories. But yeah, I really like, I guess, the opening part of this because, well, the segment on YouTube that we reviewed is called Roanoke Werewolf: Campers Haunted by a Dogman in North Carolinian Swamp. And I just thought it was interesting because, well, if anybody listened to the last two Halloween specials I did, I've been into the Dogman, Wolfman cryptid because I just thought it was just the idea to be very interesting. Also, there's been a lot of talk about Bigfoot, the Yeti, for years and years, and hit and miss for me on hearing stuff about like Dogman and all that. I just thought this was an interesting topic, and I know we talked about it before, but overall, if you had to give a brief statement, what are your overall thoughts on werewolves?
I have no idea what the hell that just was. Oh, yeah, I do know what that was. It was my phone. Haha. Something about me is just I am a dyed-in-the-wool skeptic, and so my thoughts on werewolves in general are that I think they're cool, and I think I like stories about werewolves. I think that they're a great monster. I think that there's a very good metaphor there for sort of the animal within us, the beast within, the sort of uncontrollable urges and parts of a person and all of that stuff. But I don't believe that they're real. So shows like this have never, so I shouldn't say never. When I was a kid, I was fascinated with unsolved mysteries, which anybody who is not aware of, well, I guess the new one kind of did it too. I only watched the first season of the new Unsolved Mysteries, but historically, Unsolved Mysteries was this sort of, it sort of had this veneer of being like a news magazine show, like, Nightline, but it was all really sensationalized stuff. And there were true crime bits, which apparently, they did help solve some of these cases or find missing people. And so that's, probably a net good, but They also would do stuff about alien abductions, and they would do stuff about cryptids, and they would do stuff about hauntings. And when you're a child, you know, when I was probably 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and that show was on with Robert Stack as the original host, you don't have the capacity, or I didn't at least. I think probably it's common, though. I mean, a lot of kids are afraid of things that aren't real because you don't have the capacity to sort of fully and critically understand the world around you. And everything is kind of scary, or it can be, right? So I was fascinated, morbidly fascinated with the supernatural segments on Unsolved Mysteries as a kid, whether it was about a wolfman or a ghost or, you know, whatever. But now, as an adult, and an adult who's, again, pretty skeptical, you know, just, I mean, as soon as I get reached the age where I could kind of have a handle on like a reasoning process, I just, I never bought into any of this stuff, you know? So I think we talked about this when we did the series for the Coast to Coast AM a few years ago. But, you know, I mean, I think that stuff is interesting. And I believe in some cases, I believe that people saw something that they couldn't explain. But just because you see something that you can't explain doesn't mean there is no explanation for it. And I just, and that's why these kind of shows now, they just don't really interest me all that much. Like, honestly, my spooky, quote unquote, spooky reality TV sort of digestion around this time of year, especially, is like Halloween baking contest and stuff, because I think that stuff's more interesting than people who believe werewolves are real. But that's just me.
Yeah, I guess I am a skeptic, too. I just find stories like this about seeing a wolfman, dogman, Sasquatch, aliens, whatever. I find that stuff to be fascinating because I know we've talked about it before in years past on these Halloween specials I've been doing in on Wrestling with the Dog, but I find these encounters to be fascinating because one thing I always thought was even more fascinating, especially like with I was seeing a dogman or a Bigfoot, a lot of times it happens at night. And I just find that stuff to be fascinating, that stuff just happens most of the time in the middle of the night. If these cryptids are real, these creatures are real, they're nocturnal. And I guess in words of The Undertaker back in like 97, they're the creatures of the night, oh yes. So I just find that to be fascinating and wanted to, I guess, get your thoughts on that aspect.
Well, I mean, the legend of the werewolf, which also the funniest thing to me is that, like, there are werewolf myths and legends and folklore involving people turning into sort of anthropomorphic bipedal animals throughout the world for hundreds of years. But the specific, like, full moon stuff, which this, I guess this story does not rest on a full moon thing, but the full moon thing was completely a fabrication of the Universal Studios Wolfman movie. Prior to that movie with starring Lon Chaney Jr., the full moon was not a thing for werewolves. That movie created that idea of the full moon. And so obviously if you go by that, they would have to be nocturnal, although sometimes you can see the moon during the day. So I guess what happens then? What happens to a werewolf if it's one of those days where the moon is out during the day and just on the opposite side of the sky from the sun? Do you turn into a werewolf in the middle of the afternoon? I don't know. But I guess that's rarely a full moon because of the position of the sun and the moon. It wouldn't be a full moon necessarily. But anyways, that would explain it in one way. But of course, the other thing is like, your ability to see, and I say this even as someone, like, I have good, quote unquote, good night vision for a human being, right? Like, I can see pretty well in the dark, but people can't see well in the dark. You can't see color, right? Once the amount of light goes below a certain threshold, your eyes are unable to detect color. You really, again, even people with good night vision really don't, you're not seeing very well at all. Human eyes are not tuned for that whatsoever. And so the idea that you would see something and think it's something else. And of course your brain, like when you're in the dark, your survival instincts are perked up and you are just like you're reverting to this like lizard brain primal state. And you just think that the worst, scariest thing is happening. Right. So this dude seeing what I assume was like a very large dog, or maybe not even a dog. Like it could have
been coyote. Hello, coyote, I'm here.
Or a wolf, or even like a deer, right? Because he talks about how tall it was. Like if a deer rears a back on
black
its
bear.
Or a small black bear. Yeah, exactly.
Black bears do rear up on their hind legs very commonly. Like that's part of what they do. So
yes. And also like the thing about, so I have two dogs and I have a pretty dark backyard and I take them out with the flashlight all night, and every night. And his thing about like the eyes were glowing yellow. It's like, well, when you shine a light in an animal's eye,
cat or a dog, yeah,
right, it reflects off the back of their retinas and it looks yellow. That's the same. I mean, it's the same thing that happens when you, it doesn't happen with digital cameras much anymore on your phone and stuff. But if you look at old photographs of people who get red eyes, it's the same.
Same demons thing. Trying to get out.
Yes, it's the demons. It's the demons trying to get out. So I have no doubt. So I think I don't doubt that this man saw something in the swamp in North Carolina. I agree with you, dog, that it is interesting to sort of analyze, like, well, what? And not to denigrate his experience again, because I do believe he saw something, and I do believe it probably scared the shit out of him. But there is, it was not a werewolf, because werewolves aren't real.
Right.
So.
Well, like red wolves used to be common in the Carolinas anyways. I don't know how common they are anymore, but I mean, wolf attacks were pretty common in many parts of the world for a long time. That's why myths about wolf-like creatures or, you know, people turning into wolves or whatever are so common in so many areas across, like, whatever, Norse mythology and Eastern and Western European mythology and all over the place.
Yeah, and in Asia, it's animals that are more common to those areas, right?
Right.
Like, I think there are Indian folklore about people turning into tigers and,
yes,
you know, whatever dangerous animal is near you, you're gonna.
Yeah. This one is special. This one is different. And also, I think you also have to take into account the fact that human perception is way more limited than we perceive our own perception to be. And then when you pile on top of that, our brain's ability to like fill in details and make tales, and also to just the fallibility of human memory. Right. So when you couple imperfect perception and our inability to perceive our imperfect perception, and then also our like brain's ability to just like do weird stuff with memory. It's just so easy to misinterpret something as whatever, a werewolf or anything.
Pareidolia is the specific name of the phenomenon where like we see faces and things, or we recognize patterns where they don't exist.
Right. Yes. Basically. That's why gambling is so addictive.
Right. Right.
There's like a million weird ways to manipulate the human brain that we don't even think of. And it's just, I don't know. I think I said this when we talked about the dog man in Wisconsin last time, but it's just people don't realize how imperfect their perception and their memory is. And so like a memory gets cemented, an imperfect memory, an imperfect perception gets cemented in someone's head as something. And then it just seems completely real.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
but it is,
I don't think those people are lying. I just think that they're perfect.
I mean, some of them, I don't think this guy is lying,
right?
But there are people who definitely just lie about stuff like this for sure.
Also, who carries a 357 when they're camping?
That guy does, apparently.
In the words of the great Sean Elliott, a gun is just a pacifier for a man baby. So this is a person who's like already scared of things and needs to carry the freaking dirty hairy gun around with him when when he's just camping. So
right. And I mean, that struck me a little weird too. Like I was like, well, a rifle, I think, would be depending on what you're going out in the woods to do, I
guess. Well, it's not hunting.
Rifle is semi-normal.
Right. You carry a pistol when you're afraid that something's going to attack you or whatever. But like I said, after I watched this, I did look it up, and red wolves are fairly common in many places in North Carolina. Even to this day, there are some places where they're still around, so that may have been what he saw. But
yeah. But it's interesting. And you know, again, I get it. I think we all three of us, you know, have lived in places that are heavily wooded or near places that are heavily wooded. And, you know, I remember, I don't know if I've told the story before or not, but man, I was driving up north in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, to do a small movie that some friends of mine were making, and I was acting in it. And everybody's schedules were kind of different, so I drove up alone. And so I was way up in northern Wisconsin, very close to the UP of Michigan, and I really had to pee. So like when you're up there, and it's like once you get up there, it's just 2-lane highway all the way. There's no interstate or anything like that. And I was like, well, I'm just going to get out of the car and piss on the side of the road because there's not going to be a rest stop for
that. And that night, Joe was turned into a werewolf.
Yeah, well, right.
Like, he's so vehemently denying their existence. He doesn't want you to come to his house and shoot him with a silver bullet.
That's right. That's exactly right. No, but it's like when you get, like, that was the scariest piss I've ever taken, right? Because you're up there and there were no cars. And aside, as far as my car headlights could produce light, that's as far as there was light. And it's dark up there, and it's woods everywhere, and you're out there and you're alone, and your brain just starts cranking on like, what is beyond what I can see? Because there's a whole lot of what I can't see out there, and there's noises, and there's
the thing you should be most scared of in that situation, that you've pulled over on some like insane person's property and they think you're trespassing and they like shoot you in the face.
Yeah, I mean, because
that is way more likely and way more of a danger when you're out in wilderness areas than you being attacked by an animal or whatever, some kind of monster from a 30s horror film.
right. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but that's not your brain is not working on a logical level when you're in that moment, right? So, but yeah.
Yeah, because one thing I thought was interesting in this clip was they brought up the Roanoke Island being a settler island from when Europeans, English people were coming over to the New World. And even though the guy, David, I think his name was, mentioned that the settlers were only there for a year and disappeared, I did some research just because I thought that was interesting. And yeah, pretty much that settlers showed up to Roanoke Island, settled there, and whoever was the head English guy went back overseas, obviously via boat, back to England to get more supplies. And I thought, for some reason, 7 months it was coming to mind on how long it took to travel the seas back to England and 7 months back. So 14 months in the seas plus however long in England to get all the supplies and more people who want to come to the New World. And the settlers were nowhere to be found, no trace of anything. And there's different websites that said, you know, people could have left because of the weather, food shortage, or a threat of an attack by local Native Americans. Nobody knows. And I just thought that this clip brought up the idea that it could have been this wolf man,
some wolf man werewolves,
scared them off. And I thought that was interesting.
There are settlements on that island today, so it's unlikely that there's like a secret colony of werewolves. Right? There's like, it's not like it's completely unpopulated. I think there's like a military fort there now too. So I don't,
Well, also that's where the thing that he says that, and then like his wife at the end is like, oh, I wondered what really like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, you said you were 2 hours away from Roanoke when that happened.
Right.
you drove to Roanoke where there's a town. So like, I'm not really sure.
And also that was 500 years ago.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think at this point it's kind of generally agreed upon that they were woefully unprepared and basically integrated with local Native American.
There are so many groups. Colonies and attempts to gain foothold in the New World that failed during that time for a variety of different reasons.
Also, if they were killed,
this one just kind of has legendary status because there was kind of almost nothing left behind. But
right, I was going to say the killed by werewolves thing doesn't really work because the part of the mystery is that there were no bodies, no bones, no. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if they were killed by werewolves, yeah. It would be pretty obvious.
Well, the werewolves hid the evidence. You know,
the werewolves dug graves for the deep graves.
Well, they turned them into werewolves, and then this is the descent.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. That makes a little more sense, I guess.
Yeah. Croatoan.
Yeah, and right, and that's the other thing too, right? Is there was an that was the name of an island nearby or whatever, yeah. And then they never got a chance to check it out because the weather was so bad they had to just sail back to England instead of like further exploring the coast. So
yeah, also I think really really dangerous. I mean, basically all of that area was, you know, just as likely to be at war with the natives as it was to be friendly with them, right? Like it was just like a long, dangerous stretch to exist anywhere on the east coast of the United States because it doesn't, you know, nobody really frames it that way, but that's basically what that was, right? It was like a 300-year-long war where the natives kept trying to repel, you know, or were, depending on which group there was or whatever, it was way, way more complicated than just people showed up on their boats and then set up some camps and then turned the camps into towns and then those towns became the cities we have today. It was not nearly as... very rarely did it ever go smoothly like that.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, I just thought that was fascinating. Well, I guess because I enjoy shows like this or podcasts and such, I just find it fascinating that they were trying to grasp at straws, trying to draw lines between dots that shouldn't be lines drawn to and all that. I just found that to be silly. I'm like, this would be a fun discussion point because, yeah, just asinine because of it.
Right. Well, it's just like if somebody gets murdered in a town with a haunted house, then you could draw a connection between the two, even though they have literally nothing to do with each other. But it does add some, I mean, it would be a pretty boring story if you didn't try to, I guess, tie it to some
right.
piece of local mythology.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, if people listening to this Halloween special this year don't listen to me doing Wrestle with the Dog and you guys on Wrestle with the Dog, how can the listeners of this year's Halloween special follow you guys online?
Well, we're trying to do as many spooky video game streams as we can. We usually do them just on Wednesdays, but lately this time of year we try to do them basically every day, so... if they just go to onthestick.com, that will redirect them to our YouTube channel where we are streaming spooky games.
You can find most of those archives probably because this is going up on Halloween, Eric.
Yes.
Around about then. All right. Yeah. You can find all the ones that we've done. And if you find this on Halloween, maybe Joe and I will do something special on Halloween, like our super duper long ranking of Resident Evil that we did last year.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
There's this truck in the parking lot. This guy in there, he's just staring at me.
He had this menacing look on his face like he was ready to kill him. And I thought, I don't know what this is about. And Dave said, who the heck is that? I never saw this guy before.
Here, you want to take that? Let's go over and talk to him. How you doing there? Hey, can I help you?
And he immediately started apologizing and said, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you were a friend of mine. You look exactly like a friend of mine, and I just thought I was giving him a hard time. I'm really sorry. I said, that's all right. It happens all the time.
That's okay. You had a pretty scary look on you, though.
As he was telling me that, I'm looking in his truck, and I noticed there were two rifles behind him in a rack on the window.
So, you ever do any hunting around here?
And he looked at me, and he said, oh, yeah. And I said, you do any hunting in the swamp? Didn't answer me, he just stared at me. I said,
see anything strange in the woods?
He stopped. If he could have dropped his jaw, he would have. He looked at me and then he looked down and he looked back up. He said, I thought I was the only one.
A couple years back, I did see something weird out in the swamp. First, I thought it was a wolf.
But it did something strange. It stood up.
I've never seen anything do that before.
I was thinking, I'm not crazy. It wasn't just me.
Have a good night.
He didn't tell me until after we got home because he didn't want to spoil the trip for me. I was shocked.
What was that all about?
Go.
What was that all about?
But on the other hand, it sort of made more sense about the whole creepiness of the place and that lost colony on Roanoke Island. And I thought, maybe that's what happened to that colony. I think there's things out there, and I think if you get a creepy feel about a place, it's, you know, especially if you're camping, but like if you're hiking or just anywhere where you feel, just get a creepy feeling, I think you should listen to your instincts and get the heck out of there.
There may be creatures that we don't know about out there that can do us harm.
I do want to thank Joe and Eric for joining me for another year of Talking Anything and Everything Spooky. And please check out everything that they're doing over at onthestick.com, as well as check out everything that KZ in the Desert Rat are doing over at whenitwascool.com. Thank you guys for another year, another Halloween special, a Ramblings with the Dog podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, please go to whenitwascool.com, click on the Patreon banner, and consider supporting the What It Was Cool podcast network on Patreon, because if you support WhenItWasCool.com on Patreon, you could get an extended Patreon edition of the 2022 Halloween Spectacular. Or support me and my other wrestling podcast, Wrestle with a Dog, on Patreon. Patreon.com/DirtyDogMES. That's patreon.com/DirtyDogMES. Because you can get a Patreon exclusive, a Patreon bonus episode, a longer episode, to hear another Art Bell clip from the year 2001. But either way, I do want to thank you guys for tuning in for almost an hour and a half, hearing things, talking things, everything spooky, from ghostly encounters with a cat, around a campfire, indie wrestling, UFO sightings, and a possible dogman in North Carolina. I do want to thank you guys for another fun Halloween special. Thank you guys for listening to me, their Dirty Dog Darcy. Thank you guys for another year. Stay spooky, in the words of my tag team partner, the Desert Rat. Stop killing each other. Yeah.
This has been a Darcy production.
Well, thanks for letting me talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Just begun. That was awesome.